Today is Tuesday, September 7th. Decky Standup, how are we?
We're doing great, Andy Astronaut. Just realizing, you know, I know you formally have mentioned my name is Decky Cheese, and I'm taking on like that mantra. Like I've evolved and I've grown in my cheese department. Like I'm finding new cheeses. I just wanted to get that off my chest. Like Cheez-Its, the extra toasty Cheez-Its, those are something to talk about. Brie cheese, I just had that the other day. I put that on a nice like plain cracker with some pepper jam. What else? What other kind of cheese? I had like some cheddar cheese from Trader Joe's. Been slamming that. I had a Philly cheese steak today.
A cheese steak.
Yeah, and had a Philly cheesesteak today. So it's just like, I'm in love with cheese again, and I just needed to tell you.
Hey, man, I the cheese is in you, dude. You've always been one with the cheese. I think you're forgetting the one that you've truly appreciated the most is Parmesan. Little Parmesan.
Parmesan. Oh, how could I have forgot? Oh, damn it.
Throwing it on your pasta, your pizza, and your Caesar salad.
Dude, 100%. And I don't think I have any in the fridge, actually. So that might be something to add to the repertoire. But is there such a rule that exists that there's a rule against having too much cheese?
No. I mean, on my end, since I'm lactose sensitive, there is definitely a limit to the cheese intake. And especially right. The creamier the cheese, the worse I get. I need to stick to my hard cheeses.
Right. Okay. So you're more of a sharp cheddar guy, not an Alfredo.
Correct. Stay away from Alfredo. Stay closer to extra toasty Cheez-Its.
Okay. Nice. Okay. Cool. So yeah, I really had to get that off my chest. I was like, we had just finished a consulting meeting, like, cause it's part of our production company and we're fucking good at consulting and we're crushing our clients right now. Partially I have a bit of a concern on our end, Andrew. Are we giving away too much information after meeting two?
No, I think.
Okay. All right.
Let's go two part here. One, we are giving away we're giving too much information. We're not good at like honing in on one thing and, and just attacking it. I think we're trying that with like the social piece with a specific client we have, Boots and Backstraps. We're trying to hone in their social presence, but we overbear them. Like we just think of so many different things. And they also have a ton of questions. So we'll continue to drip line the externals, but we our mainstay is the social presence and being able to make this long form podcast into several micro pieces of content.
Right. Okay. So you didn't really answer my question. So that we are giving them too much information, but it's good that we're giving them too much information.
I think we're giving them too much information. Yes.
Okay, cool. But our solution's not to not give them too much information. It's more like we're just going to keep giving them information.
The intro to every call is our mainstay. First 30 minutes,
yes.
The bread and butter, improving what we've told them from the previous 2 weeks and
yes.
Improving. Or yeah, rehashing it and improving it. And then the last 30 minutes is a Q&A. And that's when they kind of like open up the floodgates and we're drinking from the fire hose of like, holy shit, here we go.
Yeah. So, I mean, we had just finished that call and I was like, wow, you know, I think we're crushing it, you know, podcast production company consulting, like we're turning into consultants. This is lit. So obviously if anybody's out there that needs consulting, let us know. But I was also thinking through this whole cheese thing and I was just like, I got to get this off my chest. I got to let Andrew know. And here we are, dude. So.
Yeah, we got through the cheese, we got through the consulting, we're a podcast production company, and that's another aspect that I thoroughly enjoy, where we don't necessarily have to be with them day to day, but we can help them win, and that's a scalable model. And I will say this also, the podcast industry, it's very simple, it's not anything complicated, so I don't want to say like what we know is incredible, but we know like we know about podcasts. We're in the 5th percentile of knowledge of podcasting. I genuinely believe
the 95th percentile.
Correct.
We're not on the bottom 5. We're on the top. We're above 95% of the people in the industry. So we think.
I love being in this position and like having these questions asked and just being able to utilize several examples per question. It's not just like we're going after like, oh, we did this one time and this is what we have. No, we did this 12 different times and we've learned how to like navigate it now a way that fits you. Like it's not a one size fit all model. We've figured out several different versions of podcasting and we're able to implement it for someone that is such as like, I'm going to say Boots and Backstraps again, not a podcast that we would typically partner with just from like the content standpoint. Like we don't know what they're talking about. They got this Western with like
they're cowboys.
They're cowboys. We're not cowboys. We're city slickers. Decky is.
We're not cowboys. Come on, man. I've never worn a cowboy hat in my life.
And
I've gone to many country concerts, but I've never worn a cowboy
hat. I've worn a cowboy hat one time, and everyone knows this story. If you're a dedicated back pocket intern, I rode a sheep one time. I was 8 years old. That's as close of being a cowboy as I've ever been.
Right, and you cried after, and your dad played an awesome trick on you, which I thought, phenomenal story.
Classic mutton busting.
Yeah, mutton busting. I think that was episode 4, maybe even before that. yeah, no, but we're having a good time. But I think it's cool, like the diversity of the clients that we're bringing on. Like, for example, today that we're releasing this podcast, we are also releasing a massive other podcast that we've been working on for the past, I would say, 4 months, 5 months with our good buddy Matt Chase. It is a podcast that when we explain it to you, you'll be like, I can't believe you guys got into this industry in terms of like that we never saw this coming type thing. But that's exactly why we got into it, is because we want you to have the reaction of I never saw this coming. So we, as of today, the podcast is called Finding Felony. It is a 7-episode mini series in a true crime podcast centered around homelessness. And this kid, Matt Chase, when he was in college, had a documentary project that he had to roll out. And he decided to do it. He thought he was just going to be doing it on homelessness in Arizona. He went to Grand Canyon University and he met this awesome woman, Felony, started recording with her and, you know, just kind of documenting her journey. And then literally she disappears and he has no idea where she went. And this school project turns into this massive Where the F is Felony podcast. And it goes far much deeper into the finding of Felony and everything that goes around is centered around it. But it's like, if you love mystery podcasts, if you love true crime podcasts, you love anything that like kind of makes, like Andrew says, makes the hair stand up on your arms, this podcast is for you. And we're excited to release that as of today.
Super excited to be able to partner with Matt Chase on this. When he first came to us, it was that jaw dropping moment. Like, holy shit, we've hit the gold mine. Like he messaged us on over email and was like, hey, I've been shopping this podcast to big podcast conglomerates. They want to take 100% of the creative rights. I don't want to give that up. I thought about doing this marketing on my own and releasing it, but I know it's not going to get the listens that I want. Would love to figure out how we can work together. And Deck, you and I have been tasked with figuring out marketing and distribution, and Matt fully produced these 7 episodes. Not only is the content, like the investigative reporting, it took him over three years to do the whole series, but the actual production behind it is what's so impressive. Like this man, he crushed it. The background music, the transitions, the context, the monologues that he gives, the video, the audio recordings he has from the road, and like mixing it all together. Fuck yeah. Like Matt, you crushed it. I know we've said this to you in person, but we're saying this to every single other person listening right now. This podcast is so well produced. I'm proud to have my name next to it, our name next to it. Finding Felony out today, and you'll see a bunch of the marketing tactics that we deploy throughout the next couple weeks.
Yeah, and it was just really cool to the listening aspect. Like, I have to reiterate and piggyback on what you're saying. Like, as someone who has gone through and produced, you know, tons of podcasts, and seen what it takes to like make things sound good, with transitions and stuff, to think of putting that in a documentary type series, each episode's about 30, 40 minutes. So it's not a terrible time commitment. I think it's, a little more than 4 hours in total. So binge the hell out of it if you want. That's actually how I would recommend listening. And just the way he storyboards it, from an audio standpoint, and how he meticulously uncovers this whole story is extremely gut-wrenching. I'm not going to give much more context because I don't want to spoil anything, as it is the first day coming out. And we will have Matt Chase on to kind of recap in the next 2 weeks. So please do your homework, interns. Listen to the podcast. And in 2 weeks, the podcast that we do with Matt Chase, recapping the like the creation and what will come of this entire Finding Felony podcast, will be in 2 weeks. So, and we'll be spoiling everything at that point because we want to have a genuine conversation with the guy. So do your homework, binge the shit out of it, and please listen, because it is gut wrenching, dude. Like, that is like really what I was left with from the series.
Gut wrenching for sure. Putting a lot of things into perspective early. Like, he's really good at bringing the depth of what's going on, and putting it into day-to-day perspective for the average person. That sounds like a broad statement, but a great example is how he kicks off episode one, just describing when you pull up to a traffic light and you see a homeless person. He's got like just the perfect one-off quotes that roll through your head. Like, how do I help? Why are they homeless? Why aren't they getting a job? All like the different things that go through your head. He rallies the perspective early, and he just continues to deliver. Matt, kudos to you. Another cool note with Matt Chase, his brother Luke Chase was on the Date Night podcast, episode 2, with Queen Madeline. And he was the one that brought the "I blacked out at Blarney's" t-shirt as his pickup line. Ended up winning that night to get Madeline asked him out on a second date. So the Chase family is deeply rooted in the back pocket, and it's quite an honor.
Yeah, it's fun to watch. Also, Matt Chase is just like the most curious cat of all time. Like, he had a class requirement that turned into like this really, really cool series, and none of this was going to happen if it wasn't for the investigative journalism and also just the sheer curiosity of Matt Chase. Like, that's why I love him as a person, is just the fact that like he really carries, like he extracted this story and gives you this like really cool perspective of just like a normal everyday average guy who's got like this extreme and extraordinary curiosity and was able to pull out and make this like really cool product. And what you said with like the opening lines of like the homelessness and everything, that's like carried throughout the 7 episodes and really develops like that relatability and makes it feel like you're kind of in like with him along the way. And that's what like makes it so freaking gut wrenching, because like you really do feel the emotions.
Yes. 100%. And another thing, I mean, we could carry on for hours, but, the vibe of it, if those of you have seen Nightcrawler with Jake Gyllenhaal, like that dark, suspenseful, I mean, it's like that, it's the crime junkie NPR true crime genre, and he nails it. It feels like it home cooked, and then taken to that next level. Nightcrawler is my example that when I tell like someone comes up to me, "Hey, you guys are doing awesome things, back pocket. What's the next on the docket?" And I have the opportunity to describe Finding Felony, and I always give them the opening spiel of true crime, 7 episode series, homelessness, woman named Felony XYZ, and then I finish it with, "It's got this dark aura like Nightcrawler," and then everyone's wide eyed, like, "All right, I'm there. I'm listening. September 7th. Let's go."
Cool. Yeah, and again, just like, from our standpoint too, just on the back end, like when we first got this message, it wasn't like we were like honored to be looked at as a production company who could amplify this piece of our work. I think that was like our immediate draw. It was just like, it was so cool to feel like we had like a platform to be able to amplify this. And the quality was there, obviously, but we didn't really even consider like the back pocket brand being like a barrier to entry, because like, it's just cool that you and I have that kind of fluidity where it's like, we will throw a true crime 7-episode podcast within our brand comfortably and be able to promote the shit out of it and like make it seem like it's a back pocket production. And that's like going through this marketing that we're about to lay out for you guys for the next month, pay attention to that and pay attention to how we market it, because I think the way we did it is like, I'm just really excited about like the response to it and like seeing how the community responds to it, not necessarily being thrown true crime podcast their way ever before within back pocket history.
Right. It has like that the feel like being able to execute this campaign, if you will, of releasing Finding Felony, this launch, is an incredible feeling, because he came to us with the series, and now all we have the vision of how to promote the shit out of something and create hype. At the end of the day, you and I are in the hype industry. Every single thing we do, we have to hype the shit out of it and get as much eyeballs on it as possible, and then utilize that as a case study, and then bring it to a bigger sponsor or a bigger place or whatever, and then flip it and flip it and flip it. So to have like Matt come with the production and come with the back end skills of producing video content, our job was basically listening to the podcast and understanding, okay, this is how for 2 weeks we can maximize as many impressions as possible to get as many listens as possible. It's a simple marketing campaign. I'm talking way too highly about it. It's simple as fuck, but having like the teamwork and the vision to actually execute it, it just felt really, it felt really rewarding. And I know Matt was pumped like every second of the way. It comes back to the boots and bat straps model. Like, I'm just very comfortable in this space having all these different things happening.
Right. And this is also kind of a first for us, or a second, if you will. Like, we released all 10 episodes of the Date Night Podcast at once and like basically called that the season and urged people to binge it. And that plan was rolled out. In hindsight, we could have definitely done more towards just sheer promotion in general, from a longevity standpoint, which, you know, we ran into some roadblocks there. But the whole point was like, we knew what it took on the back end to like grind and then promote and drop like a massive season. And it was good that we did that first and had some lessons learned of like the longevity aspect and like knowing where you're going to need to pivot potentially with your content and everything. And that's why like having Matt come in as like the second revision, we're always going to be better from one to two, trial one to trial two, releasing a 10 episode season the first time and now releasing Finding Felony. Like, I feel a lot better about this approach and just the organized attack that we're about to deploy in you guys. Like, just get ready. It's gonna be freaking dope, dude.
Stoked about it. To Mars we go, dude. that saying has been implemented in so many ways in my life currently. To Mars, people are buying into it more than ever. It's a really cool feeling.
Yeah, huge.
The company I'm working for, Active, it's now a core principle. It's in our mission statement, to Mars, which.
That's awesome.
Which just rocks.
Yeah, I think the coolest part about that is you've been with the company for I don't know how long, 3-4 weeks.
Yeah, I'm on week four. Listening to this, it'll be after 4 weeks. Yeah.
Yeah. So your personality and like just a core belief of who you are, which is why they hired you in general, which is this to Mars type aspect, has launched you like. Like, people saw that, like people saw it, internalized it, and then wanted to make it a part of their belief system. And I just think that's sick. Like, people saw what you genuinely love to do, like, talk about and believe and internalize. And because you've externalized it just through who you are, like, people love you for that. And I think that's just, that's sick. That's a big legacy rep.
Amen. I got the tattoo. It's the male symbol, and it's also the Mars symbol. So I'm a boy on my way to Mars. And I'm being unique, and I'm going to places no one's ever been, and I'm having a blast doing it. We say it all the time. No, we're just having a blast doing it. It's a ton of chaos, but it's a ton of fun.
Exactly. I was like on my way here too from the call. I was like trying to, because on our last podcast, you know, we rolled out a new core question, which is, where do you find yourself on Mars, or what does Mars look like to you? Like, what is your journey to Mars look like to you? And it was really cool how Hannah answered it, just with like her taking it philosophical, treating Mars as like the utopia, and kind of her higher level thought. And I really like that. I just think that's like a cool aspect. But I was also thinking, like, okay, you know, we've asked these core questions of like the average quality, what's in your back pocket, et cetera, for I don't know how long. And it's not that they're getting old. I just wanted to get creative and find new questions, really, at the end of the day.
This question was money. I got so fired up. And at first, I'm like, don't change what's broke, dude. I love our core questions. We ask so many other questions for the first hour, 15, sometimes longer. I love finishing with this staple. And then you brought in, what does Mars look like to you? And the way that Hannah first answered it and saying, like, I think like Mars is not too far off, probably like 30s, mid-30s. I'd love my Mars to be hitting in like my mid-30s. And then she like talked about being in the countryside in like a cabin type feel and just all these different things. And I was just like, yes, like that's what I mean by Mars. Like, we're heading to Mars. We're going to our dream destination. And Hannah absolutely nailed it. It's definitely going to become a core question, I think.
It's definitely going to be a core question. And the thing was, is I was like, I was driving over here and I was looking at like, I was just like really hoping that there's a Reddit page out there that just has like people thinking about this same aspect. And I haven't found it yet. Like, I just found too much logistical stuff on Mars. Like, there's a video game that where you plan out, like, you see, it's like the Sims version of living on Mars. And there's a bunch of like official Mars stuff where they post a bunch of NASA stuff tracking the Mars rover. But if anybody out there knows of like a Mars, like a woke Mars page, Andrew and I need to get a hold of that, because what I was thinking would be like, it'd be really cool to read through people's like theories on like what the colonization of Mars would look like. I think that'd be a fun little segment.
All right. I like that. I like that a lot. Let's colonize. So, we have to colonize Mars. We need a botanist. We need hospitality. We need,
right.
You know, your waste. We need the sewage. There's a lot of colonization that needs to happen on Mars.
I think we need doctors.
Mm-hmm.
We need internet.
Yes. Do we need law enforcement? Are we accepting law enforcement?
Depends, dude. I kind of like the idea of doing a Mad Max for at least a decade or two, and then maybe learn our lesson. Like, oh, you know, maybe we shouldn't be an anarchy. Maybe we should be a little bit more formidable. I kind of like rolling out something a little bit more prehistoric, maybe medieval, to start, and then, you know, getting smarter later down the road. I really think right away it's just going to be survival, and we're just going to be learning as we go. Probably going to lose a lot of people in the process, unfortunately, which is not a part of this campaign. We're not urging a bunch of people to go to Mars knowing that we're going to lose half of them, but it is a part of it. You know, you have to know that going to Mars is a risk.
It's always a risk. I mean, we're going back to the Oregon Trail example. Like, people are going to get the smallpox. We're going to, the tires.
People died
break.
On the Oregon Trail.
People died on the Oregon Trail.
People are gonna die going to Mars, dude. It's shitty to talk about, but it has to be known. I mean, it's in the waiver.
Right. We did the P&L.
Uh, Man, people dying on Mars. What better? No, I don't know. I really like I really like what you're instilling in terms of like your obsession with Mars. When did it like start? Like, where did this all come from? Because it's been about, I mean, I don't know when it started, but I would say from a time frame, maybe like 2 years ago.
Yeah, I'd say something like 2 years, but I like think like the last probably 8 months. That's like maybe even maybe a tad longer. Like it's really been my focus.
Right.
I don't know where it initially came from, but what's doubled down on it is this book that I just finished, Dune. And the movie's coming out in October. Dude, this fucking book is so sick. It's a little hefty. It's like 650 pages, but it's the OG sci-fi book. So all sci-fi today, it has a lot of inclination and a lot of foundation from this story, Dune. Just an absolute kick-ass book with this guy named Paul Atreides, this young 15-year-old who is the son of a royal member who owns a planet, and he's moving planets, and it is just the coolest thing. I love fiction. I've read like 3 big fiction books in a row, and getting lost in another world. I think that's another obsession of Mars, is like the idea of being on another world. It's always been a craving of mine. I'm a big fantasy guru.
Nice. But would you say like the first inkling of it was the brand that like LeBron and D Wade run? Was that like that you got hit by an ad? Yeah. What's the name of that brand, by the way? The Future is on Mars.
The Future is on Mars is the name of the brand. Yep. I think that's probably what it was. I got hit by an ad. Yeah. LeBron, he was probably working the algorithm. LeBron was sitting behind the laptop. He's like, here's this lookalike audience. And just smacked me in the face with an Instagram ad, and I was like, dude, this is sick. And it took me the frequency on me. It was probably an honest 5 or 6. I had to see 5 or 6 ads before I was like, all right, I'm committed. I'm buying one. And it's now I have like 4 or 5 different The Future is on Mars pieces of clothing.
Yeah, I mean that's rad. And The Future is on Mars. I'm excited. I kind of want to read Dune now too, that you have also read it and had spoke of it of in such high regard. I know it's a bit, what is it you said, like 600-ish pages?
Yes. Okay. Little bro Madge listened to it, and he said because he read like the first like 80 pages, and it's like dense because like there's different, it's got like that Lord of the Rings feel where it's like a different planet. It's a different universe. I mean, it's
a lot of explanation.
Yeah, a lot of fucking explanation. That's what I meant. So listening, I know you're a big audiobook guy. I would lean into the audiobook.
Okay. All right. I can work with that. I can definitely work with that. Cause I like just the idea of exploring and going and taking your brain out into a different universe for a little bit. I mean, we could use a breakout here for once in a while, and being all real and stuff. I know that's a problem. At times I read too many nonfiction books. I get too real with myself. Although I am reading Grit by Angela Duckworth. First couple pages are looking pretty fancy.
Right on. I've heard. I think Mark Amick recommended that book in the past, if I'm correct.
Yeah, there's like this guy I met at a pool one time in Palm Springs. He told me like there's this sequence that you're supposed to read a handful of these books, and it's like, I can read it to you right now. It's like Grit, and then there's. It's a bunch. The funny part is it's a bunch of different authors, but like the books, how they go together. Oh, no, because I guess it is Angela Duckworth. But basically, it's Grit, then Range by Angela Duckworth, then the book Thinking Fast and Slow, and then Noise. Supposedly, that's like a well-known like secret series that wasn't intended to be, but is a thing. So that's I've delved into that journey. But back to my point is I love this. I love the fiction realm in that attack, because when I read all 7 books of Harry Potter, that was like I would like look forward to reading Harry Potter every night and just like diving into the world of wizardry. And I still talk about that stuff to this day. And so I'm just like I need to find an excuse to get back into it. Sounds like Dune might be on my list.
I think Dune's going to be a nice little refresher for you for why the fiction genre is so important. I mean, we hyped up Finding Felony and how cool it is that we have a true crime podcast, a nonfiction story. But, you know, you got to have, it's life in moderation, man. You got to drip line all the different angles to become whole.
Right.
Live in a fantasy world. But don't,
I think, yeah.
But don't stay in the fantasy world.
Sometimes I feel like I'm in a fantasy world out here in the RV. Lots of things moving around, but we're, I definitely feel like sometimes I'm living, like I feel like I'm living in a movie, dude. Life's a movie.
Yeah, I mean, your Instagram post, or the Back Pockets Instagram post last week about what is Declan doing in the RV? I mean, we've talked about this so many times, but it's an everyday thing for me, man. It's what's up with Deck, man? How's the RV treating him? I went to November Project this morning, ran into the OGs, you know, Emma Seavers and Tim, the Sodium Boys. Sodium Boys getting after it. I ran into BG and Steve IG, I know Dowdle, Vinny Pellini was there.
Who wasn't there? I wasn't.
You weren't, and that's why they're asking, what's going on with Deck?
That's amazing. Yeah, so I guess I should give some background on the Sodium Boys. So this is a group that has started as of 3 weeks ago, but these are my training and accountability boys. That so Matthew Gorslanzik, episode like 308, we had him on earlier this year. He's running in Moab out in Utah, October 2nd to the 5th. It's a 200-mile race. It's the Moab 200. And they usually people can sign up to like pace different runners. So I texted Matt one day and just because I want to go to Moab, and I also like I want to be able to run and get to like a that like transient state of like crushing that many miles. I'm finding that it's going to get pretty difficult here as I get into the bulk of my training. But I just want to get to that point just to see if I can do it. And so I was like, okay, I'm just going to crush as many miles as I can out in Moab. I think that'd be the best way to do it. Matt said, absolutely, no problem. And then randomly one day threw me in a group chat with Tim and himself. And now it's the three of us that send videos every day. And for some reason, Tim one day sent a video and was like, you know, crushing frozen pizzas and running, getting my miles in, dude, just like got to keep my sodium content high. And I was like, I don't know why you need sodium, but I love that we're tripling down on sodium. So now we always, you know, we triple down on sodium because it retains water.
Hence the Sodium Boys.
Yes, hence the Sodium Boys. And come October 2nd or sometime that week, I will be running a lot of miles. And I don't know that something's got to give, man, because I ran like my first week of training was last week. And I tried running in like 110 degree weather, like in the worst part of the day, and just tried to run as far as I could. And I got 5.5 miles in and I was like, I almost died. That was bad. And then I ran like 3 or 4 the next day. And I was like, still not progressing the way I need to. And so I was like, okay, you know, maybe this is going to be an adrenaline thing. Like I'm just going to have to figure this out, you know, and just throw myself at it, you know, train half-ass the training and then let adrenaline take over day of. Not going to do that first and foremost. But this week I had a change of pace, had a change of thought. So the temperature just dropped in Arizona out of nowhere all of a sudden, which I was just like fired up about, you know, 88 degrees and it's light little clouds and it's raining. I was like, I'm going to crush fucking miles today. And I did. I ran like 6.6 or 6.7 miles, did it at like an 8:50 pace, just felt alive. And I was like, okay, that was like so much better than the first time I ran. I need to figure out like how I can allot the time to run the amount of miles that I should be training for. So as it turns out at PCL, my boss, this Canadian guy, he is a guy who's ran plenty of 50 mile races and his sons run 100Ks in Canada. And he's like, and I told him about this deal. And he was like, oh, okay. Don't run a lot of like, the first thing is like, you have one long run a week, find a way to do that. And it's typically going to have to be on a weekend with your schedule. So that founded Long Run Sunday. Who knew it existed? but it already is existing. So now Long Run Sunday is now come into play. Going to have to find a time to run a long time on Sunday. But he said, you need to do, you can run, you can do your base training, which is like me going on this, these 5 or 6 mile runs. And you have one tempo day where you work in like a workout slash a run and like do something where it's higher, like basically higher heart rate, but in different types of endurance. And then you have one long run where you show your body each time, like who's mentally in charge here.
Yeah. And like you wake up and you're like, this is fucking Declan. I'm fucking Declan. Yes. Running world. And what is Long Run Sunday consist of? Like, is that like a 12 mile day? Is that like a,
yeah. Like it's as long as the time you have allowed is what he basically said. So my plan is just to find loops that are anywhere from 10 to 20 to 30 miles. And I'm probably going to do like one this week and try and find a 10 mile deal and do it in the morning. The next week, maybe do it a little longer. And then the third week, do it even longer. And he said, once you do that and you get your body, like you get your mind and body in sync of like what it feels like at the 20 mile mark, at the 25 mile mark or whatever, then like you can do it. But it's like the first time doing it or in the reiteration of doing that over and over is like, that's what separates the boys from men. So I'm excited to, see if I can even get there.
Fucking Long Run Sunday, dude. That's
Long Run Sunday.
Who knew it existed, but it was always there.
The craziest part about Long Run Sunday is the Harrier episode 323 with Patrick. He's the founder of this running culture brand. And I saw shirts from him that he just came out with like 2 weeks ago. And it was Long Run Sunday shirts. And I had no idea what it meant. And then Brian, my boss, tells me about Long Run Sunday. And I was just like, this is it. This is official. I'm going to be indicted into Long Run Sunday culture.
Got it, dude. And it's not even like, you running this distance is no shocker. But how you're getting into it also is no shocker. But one of the coolest things, we talked about this on a previous episode, it was the episode with Austin Yoakum, how we were thinking about stopping Back Pocket Podcast because we have a lot of things on our plate. We still work full-time jobs. It's becoming low man on the totem pole with priorities. And we went through the rundown of all the different people we've had on our show. And we got in one of them this year, all the people we've had on our show this year, and like we finished it and we were like, all right, all these people fucking rock. We got to keep doing this. And one of the names on there is Matthew Gorslanzik. And we got to him and neither of us had done anything with him. And I don't even remember if you mentioned the Moab. I don't think you did, but we both were just like, fucking dope guy. Cool ass story. Love that guy. The rest of them, we kind of have done something outside of the podcast with them already. But lo and behold, you're running the Moab with them. So it always comes back around. Every guest we have on the show, it comes back around.
Right. Yeah. This was another thought I was having the other night, was like this idea of like, you know, we could look at this opportunity being a part as like a burden to the podcast. Like it was so fun having a podcast in your own house and welcoming like strangers who became friends like over and over and over and over and over again. And how it was like so cool to that, not only do the podcast, but then like to play with them within the sandbox, right? Like do stuff with them. And that initiative we kind of rolled out, but like it would be a darn shame if we had looked at our opportunity, our situation right now as like as something that we're missing out of because we're both not able to play in the sandbox with our guests. But I challenge that to the sense of we have a unique opportunity to uniquely play with the different people within the sandbox. And our sandbox is just a different version of what our lives right now. And so I started looking at that and thinking about, you know, why some of these other guests these last couple months have stuck out amongst the others. And it's because we've done stuff with them. And so I was just looking through about like all my favorite ones. And that's why this whole Matthew Gorslanzik thing came up, because I was just like, this would be, first off, I really want to go to Moab because I know it rocks. And second off, like, I think I'm not going to ever sign up, or at this point, I don't want to sign up for like a marathon or something and then post on Instagram with my fucking medal and show everyone that I trained for 26.2. I want to do something where it's like supporting someone that like I believe in and like put myself in a unique opportunity to do something because of this podcast. So I think it's just cool. Like if we look at opportunities to play in a different way, the stories that it creates. And I just think we're looking at it through that lens gives me life. Honestly, it really does.
Yes. Create the story, dude. And everyone's story is different. And it's such a thrill when you take your story by the reins and you're actually writing it through like a creative like mindset. Like, don't be stagnant in your writing. Have a blast, fail in that. Like, fucking look at it and be like, damn, like, my last 3 weeks, I just was so mundane and routine that like, I can't really put a stamp on anything. Do something and have like that milestone memory on it. I was listening to, and to put context to that, I was listening to Jesse Itzler talk on this podcast called Dear Gabby. And he was talking about, you know, he's 50 years old now and all of the years are the same. So what he is like, purposely does is 2 to 3 times a year he has some type of event or some type of thing that he plans around and focuses, whether it's could be a vacation, could be a like a super physical endurance, could be a gathering of some sort, but they're big things that occur in that year that when he goes, oh, what happened in 2006, he can bam, snaps his fingers, like, oh, I went to Moab and I paced for this guy, Matthew Gorslanzik. Like, that shit's remarkable and something you'll always remember. And you can tag that to a year. Pretty cool that, like, the way that he was articulating it and, you know, down the line, it's something to keep top of mind because, you know, 2014, I graduated high school, and then 2018, graduated college. Like, I can reiterate all of these years right now because there's big things that are going to continue to occur. But now I'm sitting here 25, probably the next 15 years, there's going to be big milestones, marriage, kids, whatever, a different job. But being intentional about creating these events and creating these moments is a really cool perspective.
Yeah. Well, and just realizing like you're this idea of like manifestation and like Hannah talked about it last podcast about how like she manifested coming on the podcast. And it's so interesting to think of, like, I was just reading this book, The 7 Laws of Success by Chupa Dope Rock, or what, I forget the freaking guy's name. I just butchered it. But basically, he explains this idea.
Deepak Chopra.
Deepak Chopra. There you go. And basically, all it is just proves this idea of manifestation and how, like, everything is already so random that, like, you putting intention into the universe and putting energy towards something that you want will hit enough pins and put that energy towards enough good that it's going to happen. Like, as long as you're consistent about it and you get to this final state of like Dharma, where it's like, the first thing you got to do is you got to find what the energy you want to put towards. The second thing you got to do is find the unique talents that you have, towards the things that you like doing. And then the third thing you have to do is figure out how you can help. And that, yeah, and asking that question is going to put you right back into the spin cycle to number one. And when I read that, I was like, damn, like we're doing something pretty special here, where the fact, like, we don't really know, we know number one, like, we really love like producing podcasts. We love doing the show. We love doing hanging out with, like, we love living our life. I think we're really good at that shit. Number two, we're finding our talents. And then number three, we're also finding ways to help. And we've found so much success doing it with other people. And we know that when we do those types of things, they create the milestones that you're talking about. Like, people can talk about anything with us, and we're always going to have some sort of story or some sort of thing that we can relate to because of that intentionality these past however many years.
It is, it's truly awesome. It's so cool. I was talking to Dowdle yesterday, just about it. And, you know, like, someone asks, hey, man, hey, what's going on? What's up?
And it's heard, like, you got deep, by the way, because I sent him a message on my run that I also sent to the Sodium boys, that, and I was telling him about the Smoab stuff. But anyways, he said he had a 3-hour deep dive with you. And I was like, that's phenomenal. And him, one of the Sodium boys like ran into you, which
yeah.
is just hilarious.
Lots of coincidences. Lots of coincidences. We had a drink with Tim. We were just talking about the ability, like what we've been able to create, and just how much I love living my life, and how much like I am able to be fulfilled through my, like I'm valued in my actions because I'm helping others. Like that's how I'm valued. That's dope. In many different facets, whether it's like scaling their voice on a podcast, sitting down and giving someone an hour and just like hearing their story, growing entrepreneurs, small businesses with digital marketing, and all these other different things of just being another person on earth. Like I have just
being a guy,
just being a guy,
just being a guy, dude.
That is the intention that I can, like, you and I have focused on the Joey Puck, give value, get value. Like we've genuinely focused on it. That's the intention. And all of these random occurrences we have set so many pins in that line. That is, it's fucking so fun.
it's great, dude. It's the funnest thing ever. And the just like know it, like zero expectation, you know, like we hold the tie line, but like the expectation of life, you can't measure. And just being able to be the average person and know you're just an average person. There's no better feeling, and there's no better way to live it than just like following exactly what you're talking about and being just like stoked about being that average person. And if you do that, the thing is if you do that, everybody's going to tell you you're like amazing, and you're not going to tell them they're wrong. You're obviously gonna be like, yeah, fuck yeah. Thank you, man. Like, I know we did just pull that off. It was fucking dope. I'm going to talk about it. But there's an aspect of just like knowing that they have like that they're looking at a small sliver of time and giving you a reward for that. But really, in the grand scheme of things, you're just the average guy continuing about your life. And that's what makes you happy.
Two ordinary average guys having an extraordinary passion to be ourselves. We're on our way to Mars. We're on our way to Mars. Decky is also on his way to crush a stand-up set. So we're gonna wrap this podcast up here. Any final thoughts for us, Decky?
You know, a lot of people are talking about my debut out here in Arizona in the comedy scene, and had a good tight five going in with no material. Got lucky. Some guy in the crowd threw me a bone and said, like, my mullet. That was an easy tip off to get the people rolling. Night two is tonight, you know, and we all know that there are many naysayers, and many naysayers even within myself that are saying, hey, look, you know, the second time you usually go to the same place, it has high priority or a high chance of bombing. So I may be walking into a big old bomb here tonight, but walking there to begin with, that next step mentality is what it's all about. I'm excited.
We're excited for you. We're excited for that feedback. I'm personally excited that you're getting back in the scene, honing your craft. I mean, your comedy is always being pushed because it's just who you are. Your best element is the off the cuffs, natural you. But when you get up on stage, and sometimes you treat it like a podcast, and sometimes you go 5 minutes of talking, and everyone's entertained, but sometimes we don't laugh because we're just like, damn, what where was the punchline? But like, that was a good ass story.
right. Yeah. Can't go too far into it. But anyways, dude, this was a dope podcast. We don't get to do these types of podcasts very often. I made the executive call this week. I was like, F it, dude. Like, let's do it ourselves here. And do something new. I really do think like challenging that kind of status quo and just keeping these conversations alive is just, there's nothing better, man.
Yeah. It's almost our friend time. I mean, we get to implement friend time every now and then on the podcast.
Friendship time. Ever heard of it? It's good, fun stuff. Oh, this podcast drops after Andrew and I just lost a bunch of money betting on college football, but hey, that's what happens, man.
It is what it is. Comes in waves.
It is what it is, man. Well, let me tell you this. I love you, man.
I love you too, Deck.
Love you, man. Just you know, throwing that out there. Just a feeler. Just love you, man. You know.
Hey, and we love you guys. Like,
well, so yeah. Not only do I love you, I love the people listening. of the people who would probably DM us, like if there's someone at right now that's listening, hey, wouldn't hurt to say a little DM just saying, hey, love you boys, because we love you too. Simple as that, man. Lots of love. Lots of love. But that is a wrap on episode 326, Andrew. Excellent work, brother.
Great work. Riding positive eddies. We love you guys. Take care.
Take care. Seeing double. Tell the whole squad out the back door, man, I think it's time to huddle. Yeah. We're in trouble. Wrote a pop song, tried to pop off, but I think we popped a bubble. And we run around, but now I know we're tired of the nonsense. All the things we can't control. Really, really messes with a healthy mindset. Are we there yet? Or is this just how it goes? So you wanna play the pop game, said you never, never will change, but I don't believe you. So you wanna play the pop game, said it always goes the same way, but I don't believe you. No, I don't, no, I don't. Triple coverage. Had it mapped out, but you spaced out, man, you didn't see it coming. Yeah. Hold my luggage. About to fly up, holding my cup, looking down and seeing nothing. And we run around, but now I know we're tired of the nonsense. Are we there yet? Or is this just how it goes? So you wanna play the pop game, said you never, never will change, but I don't believe you. No, I don't. So you wanna play the pop game, said it always goes the same way, but I don't believe you. No, I don't, no, I don't. So you wanna play the pop game, said you never, never will change, but I don't.